So we're in the series called Noah, and we're in our third week. And what's really amazing to me is, as much as we change, I feel like I got changed the direction I was taking the series and the tone of the series, that, man, I think God is speaking to our hearts corporately from the emails and the texts and the calls over the last 2 weeks has been really pretty amazing. And so God's speaking to our hearts. And so let's just continue to ask the Lord to speak to our hearts and direct us. And today we're talking about obedience. And sometimes we've got to go through this big wrestle, this big process of decision to come to the point of obedience. And so maybe you feel kind of like they feel in this video clip here.
So you're really him, aren't you?
You want more proof? I haven't done the Pillar of Salt thing in a while.
That's all right. I believe you. I don't understand why you chose me.
You want to change the world, son. So do I.
What? Why an ark? I mean, that's like flood territory. You wouldn't do that again. You wouldn't do that. Would you do that?
Let's just say that whatever I do because I love you.
Well, then you have to understand that this whole building an ark thing is really not part of my plans here. I need to settle into my house. I need to make a good impression at work. What?
Your plans.
What are you talking? We're talking about an ark, right? I mean, an ark? An ark is huge. I don't even know where I would begin.
Well, I hear that a lot. People want to change the world, don't know how to begin. You want to know how to change the world, son? One act of random kindness at a time.
Build the ark. I'll tell you what. You build it, I'll fill it. And if anybody asks, tell them flood's coming. Oh, and you might need this.
Okay, so what do? I grab the wood and then... Oh, okay. You know, that's just cruel. Do you see him? I don't see him.
Building an ark the old-fashioned way. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He lives in all things and has over 6,700,000,000 children.
A couple of things that stand out to me in that is he says, you want to change the world. And I believe that God really does want to change the world. And another thing he says is he just paused for just a minute and he goes, build the boat. Build the boat. And really, that's what happened with Noah, is that God finally is just kind of looking at him, and he just says, build the boat. And we're in our third week of the series called Noah, and we wanted to learn the principles of what the Bible actually says, what it doesn't say, what it implies, what we know, and we want to know what Scripture says. And so I want to encourage you, go read the story of Noah. It goes from the end of Genesis chapter 5 through the beginning of Genesis chapter 10. Just a few short chapters there to read what the Bible actually says so that we can know and understand the truth of the story. Did you also know that 1 Peter refers back to the story of Noah and confirming what happens in Genesis? Did you know that John and Mark refer back to the story of Noah confirming what happened in Genesis? That it's a major monumental story. So I encourage you to take the time, if you haven't read it, to read it. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says this, by faith, Noah. By faith, Noah. And in week one, we learned that faith was the first principle, that nothing that Noah did was held up as an example for us except what was born out of his faith. And so we see that faith was the first principle. And we see that Noah had an everyday faith that whether it was Sunday mornings or it was Friday night or Tuesday afternoons or Saturday evenings, that his faith was the same for his everyday life. The Bible says that by faith, Noah did everything that needed to be done before he even entered the ark. That he built the boat and that he did all these things before he ever saw one drop of rain, before he ever saw one storm cloud, before the animals ever came, he built the ark. And then we also see that he believed for the improbable. How many of you know that God can do amazing things? Amen. But then that also goes on in Hebrews 11:7, and it says this, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things to come, moved with godly fear. So fear was the moving force for Noah's life. And it wasn't an inappropriate fear. It was a reverence of who God is versus who we are. God's position versus our position. And Noah had this holy reverence of God, understanding that God was the one directing the show and he was the one following in obedience to what God was directing him to do. And then Noah had a humble distrust of himself. Let me ask you in here, how many of you in here, you've ever blown it with a bad decision? Come on, raise them up. And I think in this room, if we were to scale, some would be worse than others, and some would be more serious than others, but maybe it was a bad haircut, or maybe it was something far, far more consequential. But we've all done dumb things that are decisions based on emotions, based on a lack of sleep, based on circumstances, and really God's ways are much better than ours. And we see that Noah was a great man, and Noah is one of the guys that God lifted up and said, look at his faith. God's pointing people back to and saying, look at this Noah, look at his faith. And over this course of this series, we've continued to say application, 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 application. Because we can give information till your head blows up. But until we have application, there will be no transformation in our lives. And so how do we apply this? And really, as I was last night, I added this in, I changed this just as I was praying through and finishing up the message that I just felt like I want to be the man of faith that God can point people back to. I want us to be a church that is full of people of faith. Corporately, there's faith because in that God points people, says, hey, okay, look at these guys. Not because I want it for selfish reasons, not because I want it because look at Michael or look at Grace Hill or look at all the individuals in Grace Hill, but because I feel this compelling in my heart that I want people to come into relationship with Jesus Christ and that they can hear the good news. That's what the gospel is. It's good news. That we can be forgiven and the bad decisions of our past can be washed away and we can have a new life through Christ. I want people to know Christ. And I want to be a man of faith that God can point people back to. And I want us to be a people of faith that God can point people back to and that we can grow in our walks with him. And so here he had a humble distrust of himself. And so for us today, we have to have faith that leads to fear, that leads to obedience in our lives. And so Noah is an example of faith. And Noah, it says in Genesis 6:9, it says this. Noah was a just man or a righteous man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And I want God to be able to say that Michael walked with God and Forrest walked with God and Betsy walked with God, that we know God and we're walking with him daily and we're following him and we're in God's will and how we live. Because sometimes we're thinking, what's God's will for my life? What's the big picture? What's God's will? What's God's will? When really God's will is for us to follow him every single day in the small things, and we'll wake up in the big picture of God's will for our lives. And so I want us to be men and women who walk with God and that we fully are faith-filled people, people who know God and encounter God and follow him every day. Again, in Hebrews 11:7, we're going to read the whole verse here. And if you've got a pen, I want you to circle something in your Bible or circle it on your notes today. It says this, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things to come, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark. I want you to underline the phrase, prepared an ark. We're going to come back to that in just a minute, but it says he prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Over the course of this series, we see that Noah had a faith, and that faith that Noah had in God, it led him to a fear or a reverence or an understanding of God's presence and God's position versus ours. And then that faith, which is what gave birth to fear, gave birth in his life to obedience in doing the things that God commanded him to do. And he following through on the direction of God. So together, faith and fear is what led to obedience, because when you combine the faith in God and the proper reverence and fear of God, it leads to good fruit in our lives. It leads to good things in our lives. The same here in the story of Noah. As tragic as everything else happened, the positive that came out of it is amazing. And we'll talk about that here in a moment. But the obedience, again, is the fruit of faith and fear combined. So application, application, application. Here's the question I want to ask. And today we're going to ask multiple questions as we go through the sermon. Are you a man or woman of faith? Are you a man or woman of faith enough and reverence enough to be obedient to what God has commanded us? So here's what we see in the life of Noah. Noah obeyed the Lord exactly. Noah obeyed the Lord exactly. So how often do we see in Scripture that it says that Noah did according to the Lord, what the Lord commanded, that Noah did all that the Lord commanded? How many times do we see it in Scripture? We see it in Genesis 6:22. And then we see it again in Genesis 7:5, where it says Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. So for those of us who are believers and those of us who are men and women of faith, that our faith needs to be such that we have this holy fear of God and that it compels us to leave nothing undone in which God has directed us to do. That's a pretty powerful statement, that we're men and women of faith, that our faith leads us to holy fear, and that it leads us to leaving nothing undone from the direction of God. In fact, in the New Testament, in John 2:5, Jesus is at a wedding, and they've run out of the wedding, part of the wedding feast, the wine, and so there's nothing there, and Mary, his mother, comes up, and she goes, Jesus, do something. Do something. This will be a humiliation to the family. Do something. And he goes, Mom, it's not my time yet. Mom, no, Mom. And so he said, Mom, it's not my time. And what she does, instead of listening to him, she turns to the men standing around and she says, do everything he says. Jesus, do something. Son, do something. Mom, it's not my time. And she looks at everybody else and says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. In other words, she's saying, you're going to do it. And you know what happened? Out of obedience, out of her faith, out of obedience to him them doing what he told to do, that there was more wine. They say it's the best, and that it's the best that we've had. This is amazing. And so there was provision. And when we are obedient to God and what he directs for our lives, when we are obedient to him, good things come out of that. And so for us, that we obey God with all of our heart and with all of our mind, and that we, in some ways, we prove by grace, we prove God's grace by our obedience to him. And so here's the questions of the application. Are we obeying God exactly in our lives? Are there areas that we're going, well, I know this isn't best, but I'm going to do it anyway? Are we obeying God exactly? That in our lives is that obedience, we need to understand, it's revelatory of our belief and our faith in God. That if we are obeying God, it reveals that we've got faith in him. But if we're not, our obedience level is revelatory of what we really believe about God. And so today, obeying him exactly. Are we obeying God exactly? And for me, this really hits home. And so as we ask these questions, I don't want us to feel condemnation. If there's areas where we struggle, and let's be honest, that we are at times we struggle. I don't want us to feel condemnation, because condemnation makes you feel I can never measure up. I can never do it. I'm lowly. I'm worthless. I'm weak. I can't do it. And he turns us from God in despair. But conviction, the Bible says that non-believers face conviction, draws them to the Lord. Believers face conviction and draws them to God as well. That conviction is what draws us to the Lord. So if there's areas that the Lord begins to do conviction in our heart, let's allow that to happen and to pull us to God. But if you say, I'm struggling, don't feel condemnation. That's not the point ever of the gospel, because it turns you away from God. But conviction draws us to the Lord. And the second thing that we see here with Noah is, not only did he obey exactly, but he obeyed carefully. that Noah obeyed carefully. In fact, God said to him in Genesis 6:14, it says, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood, and he goes on and gives him. But he's saying make an ark, build an ark is what he says there. And then in Hebrews 11:7, it says this, that Noah prepared an ark. That's why I want you to underline prepared, because the connotation here and the picture that we get is God saying, go build an ark, and it says that then Noah prepared it. So it says that he prepared all the supplies exactly as God had said. He got the exact type of wood and the exact type of pitch to put on the inside and the outside of the boat. He built it to the exact specifications. He made it the exact length and width and height and the same number of levels, and that he did it exactly as the Lord had. And so that he was careful preparation is the picture that we get. He put the parts exactly, cut them exactly, fashioned them so that they fit together. He prepared his mind for the work, laid out the material. He then did the work, and he did it carefully. And for us, it's the same way, that we need to prepare our minds and begin to prepare our lives carefully to follow the Lord, to carefully examine ourselves and carefully get ready for the direction that he's taking us in life, so that we can follow him and obey him and not just follow God, but carefully pursue in the path that he has for your life. So let me put it this way, that when you come and you do ministry here, you don't just come and not put any thought into it. You, the area that you're involved in, whether you're helping in the nursery, you prepare for that and you come in and you're ready. And when you come in and you greet, man, I love coming into our greeters. They've got the prettiest smiles and the best smiles. It's just, they're fun and nice. But how great would it be, or how terrible would it be, if you walk in and they're like, here's your program. And the person walks in and goes, well, how are you doing? Fine, I'm fine, move on. We get geared up. Well, what about when you go to your job and the job that God gave to you and he provided for you? That instead of saying this is beneath me, or I'm done with this, or I'm through with this, that instead we're saying, God, what do you have for me? And how do you want to use me on my job? And you go in and do the best job you can because God provided it and you've prepared yourself. And so let me give you a quote I heard this week by an old pastor. He said this. He said, being careless doesn't lead you down the highway of holiness. Being careless doesn't lead you down the highway of holiness. So for us in our lives, that carelessness gets us in trouble. Carelessness with our standards gets us in trouble, that we need to build standards and things in our life to be prepared for what God has. Because to follow God, that there must be determination. And follow God, there must be attention to detail. And following God, there must be thought and care put forth. And faith must work with those things and allow God to move in our lives so that we can come into deeper relationship with him and live a life that honors him. That we carefully obey God, because men are never right with God by accident. That men are never obedient to the Lord by accident, except by careful preparation of our lives and careful preparation of our hearts and allowing God to work in us. So let me ask you a question. If you had a business deal on the line, say Bob, in your career, you have a business deal on the line, or Dan, in your career, or maybe you've got a purchase, and the way that it turns out, you have the ability to have a loss or gain of $500,000. How much attention to detail do you think that you would have in that manner? You would do your due diligence. You would cross your T's. We would dot our I's. We would do it all, that we would go through that business deal with great detail, because there's a chance for loss or gain of $500,000. But yet in the attention of our soul, that has eternal consequences, far too often we're careless. But we need to obey the Lord carefully and exactly. But also it says that Noah obeyed at all costs. That Noah was asked to build a vessel that I'm sure it cost him a ton of his time, a ton of his effort, and possibly some of his resources. Now, we don't know what happened, if he built it all himself and all of it just his family, or if he hired people. We don't know all those details necessarily, but if he had to hire laborers, that he did it at great cost. And that if he was having a portfolio for his retirement and he was putting all of his profit and all of his estate into one singular venture, that wouldn't be wise investing. It wouldn't be wise investing to put all of his eggs into one basket, yet he was willing to. Why? Because God had spoken to him to build an ark. And he did. He obeyed at great cost. And so the thing is, can we do the same? Here's what I want to ask. Can we obey him at great cost? That if we lose friends over coming to Christ, that if we end up, if we do a business deal dishonest, we can make a lot of money. But if we do it honestly with integrity, we break even. Will we still do it honestly? Or what about, it says in 1 Peter, it's talking to new converts and it tells of the way that they used to live. He says, but now you don't do any of that anymore. And now the people you used to do it with, but you don't do anymore, now they're heaping abuse on you because they're saying you used to do it with us and now you won't do it anymore. And it says that they heaped abuse on them. So are we willing at all costs to obey God? Because obedience produces fruit in our lives. And then Noah did this. Noah obeyed under daily disapproval. Here's our assumptions. We assume that men mocked him in his generation. Many assume that he preached the gospel, that he shared his faith, that he was a light of Christ and or of God, and that they didn't. No one followed him. They thought he was mad. We assume that he was probably the frequent brunt of jokes and sarcastic remarks. But all of those men are forgotten now, and Noah is not. And that for all the many scorning that he may have faced, he continued to follow the Lord. He stuck to the direction that God pointed him in because he had real faith in God. And are we willing to obey God in the face of criticism? And here's the deal. In America, we don't really face persecution. We're not really facing true persecution, but we do possibly face some criticism at times. And maybe if we're not facing criticism, maybe are we living it out enough to where there would be reason to criticize because it's opposite of the world? And the last thing that's not on your notes that I want to go through, and we're going to close with this, but the last thing I want to go through, and I want you to write this down, that Noah's obedience led him to following each command. So basically what I'm saying here is that he didn't know the whole picture of what would take place through this process. I'm a linear thinker. I love it to be systematic, one step after the other. I love that. I don't like it like when we go way off and then we have to come back. And even in conversation, let's kind of stay on a linear process. I like that. But God told Noah, live for me, be righteous, and he did. He told Noah, build a boat. And he did. He told him to gather animals a step at a time, and he did. Then he said, get in the boat. Can you imagine the process here of getting into that boat full of animals? I mean, just think about it. We think it's pretty common, that it's pretty simplistic, but I'm thinking, there's snakes. I hate snakes. I hate snakes. So like one time they had a little mini boa. It was like 4 feet long. And they wanted me, I didn't like it at all. And the guy's like, no, it's around his neck. And he's playing. I'm like, you're a weirdo. But then you think there's no central heat or air. There's no power washers to get rid of. There's elephants in the boat, right? No power washers. That there's lions and tigers and there's all kinds of animals. And he says, get in the boat. And Noah did it. How am I going to close the door? It says, God shut the door. Noah obeyed a step at a time. He obeyed in the small things and the big things. And when we obey God in the little pictures of our life, we end up in the big picture of God's will. And so here's what I want to ask. Why does it matter? Why does it matter that we talk about Noah's faith and he had great faith? Why does it matter, Michael, that we spent a whole week on the fear of God and we talk about the fear of God, the reverence of God? Why does it matter that Noah had a reverence of God? Why does it matter that fear and faith led to obedience and that he had the proper fear of God, the faith in God, and it led him to it? Why does it matter? You want to know why? Two things. It's not in your notes, but this word in the final thoughts, here's the deal, is that through Noah's obedience, humanity was saved. That there was a covenant that God made with Noah. He says, I am making a covenant with your family that I will save your family. And had he not been obedient to the threat or to the coming flood, that his promise would not have been fulfilled because he wasn't obedient. And so therefore in our lives is that we need to understand obedience matters because through his obedience, humanity was saved. Second of all, listen to this. Through the line of Noah, in the lineage of Noah came Jesus. The Messiah came through Noah. And so I want to encourage you with this. You never know what will come out of a life lived in obedience to the Lord. You never know the long-term fruit that will happen that you will never know this side of eternity and out of the obedience you live now. Because you realize that your life impacts your life. My life impacts your life. Your life then impacts your family's life. Her life, your mom's life, who was at our house a year ago, that she was then impacts. So you know what I'm saying? So it goes, and that there's a ripple effect, and you never know your obedience to God and how that carries over the results of obedience. This out of heaven, you'll never know. But through Noah's line came the Savior, the Messiah of the world, in which we can experience forgiveness through Christ in our lives. Obedience matters. Not just keeping the rules and checking the box and doing the good deed, but having this faith in God that leads us to a holy fear and reverence of Him that produces in us an obedience to God that has long-term eternal ramifications for us and for others. Would you stand with me just for a moment? Forrest and Aaron, you guys come up. These guys are going to lead us in a song, and I want us to take just, we're going to go through the course literally one time. And I want you to begin to say, Lord, speak to my heart about where I need to be obedient. And maybe you need to write an area down that is not completely lined up. It's just a point of saying, Lord, am I obedient to you? And where is it? And help me in this area. So I'm going to pray for us. Forrest is going to lead us through this one time. But have your notes, pull out your pen if you need to, and just write areas that you need to be obedient to the Lord and you need his help. Father, for this congregation, Lord, who has such a generous heart to the cause of Christ. For this congregation that has such a generous heart, Lord, and such a tender heart, God. I pray that you would speak to us today in areas that we need to bring in alignment with you, God. That you will speak to our hearts today about areas in which we need to be fully obedient. Instead of saying, well, I can get away with it. It's okay. It's not that big a deal. That we're completely obedient, carefully, exactly, at all costs, that we are obedient to you. Lead us today in Jesus' name.